Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. Let's take a look back at last year. What did Congress and the IRS do for, or to, our clients' retirement benefits in 2007? The hottest topic was, and still is, beneficiary rollovers. You know the problem. An employee dies, leaving his 401k plan to his children. The children want to use the stretch life expectancy payout, of course, but the only form of death benefit that the plan allows is a lump sum distribution. When Congress passed the Pension Protection Act in 2006, we thought this problem was solved. Because beginning in 2007, a non-spouse beneficiary who inherits benefits under a lump sum only plan can go out and open a so-called inherited IRA in the name of the deceased participant. Then the beneficiary can have that lump sum transferred by direct rollover from the 401k plan right into the inherited IRA, thus preserving the stretch payout. So that's how 2007 dawned, bright and shiny, as a new day for beneficiaries. But in January, the IRS spoiled the party. In Notice 2007-7, the IRS said that retirement plans were not required to offer the beneficiary rollover. And sure enough, I've heard several horror stories since then about plans that for one reason or another do not want to offer the beneficiary rollover. Well, the plot took a new twist in August of 2007. A technical corrections bill was proposed in Congress, making it clear that beneficiary rollovers were mandatory on the plans. And the IRS seemed to go along. They issued a notice saying that, sure enough, under technical corrections, plans will be required to offer non-spouse beneficiary rollovers beginning in 2008. I wish that were the end of the story, but it wasn't. In December of 2007, Congress finally did enact technical corrections to the Pension Protection Act, but the provision about plans having to offer beneficiary rollovers was not included. And the IRS now has issued its official list of amendments that plan must adopt to comply with the Pension Protection Act, and the list says that Notice 2007-7 still applies. So, in January of 2008, we're right back where we were in January 2007. A non-spouse beneficiary who inherits a qualified plan that offers only lump sum distributions can have the lump sum transferred to an inherited IRA, yes, but only if the plan is willing to allow it. And plans still do not have to allow it, according to the IRS. So what else was the IRS up to in 2007? Well, they issued two sets of final regulations that impact our area, one for Roth 401k plans and one for 403b plans. The Roth 401k regulations don't contain anything earth-shaking. The IRS just simplified some things and closed some potential loopholes. The final 403b regulations have a bit more impact. 403b plans, as you recall, are only for employees of schools and certain charitable organizations. They look a lot like 401k plans, except the only permitted investments for a 403b plan are annuity contracts and mutual funds. The IRS's final 403b regulations have even further narrowed the investment options for 403b plan employees. The regs make it harder than it was before for an employee to swap his old 403b annuity contract for a new contract from a different company. And the regs also clamp down on what insurance benefits can be offered in a 403b annuity. So, if you advise university professors or other clients who have 403b accounts, you will need to study those regulations. Well, as they do every year, the IRS issued lots of private letter rulings in 2007 dealing with IRAs and retirement plans. The good news is the IRS continues to issue rulings blessing the transfer of retirement benefits from an estate or trust to the beneficiaries of the estate or trust. For example, if an IRA is payable to an estate or to a trust, and the time has come to close the estate or terminate the trust, the letter rulings continue to approve the ability of the executor or trustee to transfer the IRA to the individual residuary beneficiaries of the estate or trust. And the rulings confirm that this transfer does not trigger income tax, it does not change or extend the applicable distribution period for the benefits, it just allows the estate or trust to close without terminating the IRA. Similarly, the IRS has continued to issue numerous letter rulings allowing a surviving spouse to roll over benefits that are payable to her through a trust or an estate. This comes up when a decedent made his retirement benefits payable to his estate or to a trust, perhaps by mistake, but the surviving spouse is the sole or residuary beneficiary of that estate or trust. And these letter rulings continue the trend of the last 18 years, allowing a spousal rollover in that situation. Now for the bad news. In the case of both transfers of a plan out of an estate or trust, or a spousal rollover through an estate or trust, the IRS still has spoken only in the form of private letter rulings. They have failed to issue a revenue ruling or a regulation or anything else that we could rely on as precedent to state that these types of transfers and rollovers are permissible. Now that's a big problem, because many IRA providers and plan administrators are of necessity conservative on these things, and they may not be willing to rely on someone else's private letter ruling or even a legal opinion sometimes. Let's hope that in 2008 the IRS stops using these post-mortem cleanup situations as a revenue raiser and issues a pronouncement we can rely on. Well, continuing with the PLR roundup, I have two ominous trends to report. The first concerns another post-death cleanup situation, namely, a state court reformation of a beneficiary designation or trust. Over the last few years, there have been several PLRs in which a participant died, leaving his benefits in a less than ideal manner, but the family and the advisor team have succeeded in getting a state court to essentially rewrite the beneficiary designation form, or sometimes a trust agreement, to produce a more favorable tax result. Until recently, the IRS had, in every case, blessed the state court reformation results and ruled that the reformed instrument would be treated as establishing the participant's beneficiary for minimum distribution purposes. Then in 2007, for the first time, the IRS refused to honor a state court reformation of a beneficiary designation form for minimum distribution purposes. Why? Well, maybe it was just because in this particular ruling, the parties really had no evidence of the decedent's intent. Maybe the IRS was just saying that this particular reformation didn't meet their standards. But unfortunately, the language of the PLR sounds much broader than that. The language in PLR 2007-42026 sounds like the IRS is saying, we were wrong to ever give effect to a post-death state court reformation, and from now on we ain't going to do it anymore. I hope that's not the case, but if it is, a valuable cleanup tool is gone. I'll close with one more ominous trend in the PLRs of 2007. As in preceding years, the IRS issued a flood of rulings granting hardship waivers of the 60-day rollover deadline. As in prior years, I regret to inform you, the most common reason for people requesting and receiving hardship waivers of the 60-day rollover deadline is error by a financial institution or professional advisor. Now for the ominous trend. The IRS has taken to denying a waiver when the participant himself makes a mistake. So if I want to roll over my 401k plan to my IRA, and I have my financial advisor fill out the forms, and the advisor makes a mistake on the form so that the money goes into my taxable account, the IRS will almost certainly grant me a waiver of the 60-day rollover deadline. But if I fill out the forms myself, and by mistake I write the wrong account number on the check, or I'm the one who forgets to put a stamp on the envelope, and as a result of my personal mistake I miss the 60-day deadline, The new IRS policy seems to be that they will not give me a waiver. Well, maybe we can use this IRS policy for marketing. I can see now an advertisement for a financial firm. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. America, you know that your tax-free rollover is highly likely to get screwed up, so let us handle it for you. And when those inevitable mistakes occur, the IRS will waive the 60-day deadline for you. But if you do it yourself and you don't hire us, the professional advisors, there's no backup system, because the IRS will waive the deadline for my mistakes, but not for yours. Well, for MorningstarAdvisor.com, this is Natalie Choate.